Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to maybe the penultimate edition or the final edition, depending.
Certainly the climactic edition.
A pivotal edition of the If At First You Don't Succeed podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. Joining me as always is John Teasdale.
That's me. As always.
So we have not done one of these in 2 weeks, and the reason why we haven't done one of these in 2 weeks is for the reasons that we were talking about on the last episode that we did, which is that I was out of town for a week doing publicity, and then we came back and things were just kind of crazy, so we didn't have time to do it. We put the project ahead of the podcast, which makes the podcast shittier, but hopefully made the project better, and that is what we are here to talk about right now. John, where are we in time with this Kickstarter as we speak?
The last update I saw was we have 108 minutes left to go.
108 minutes. And as we are talking, what are we at?
We are currently at 1,185 backers, which is 57,000 United States dollars.
So we, you know, well, at a aggressive pace, we'll end a little north of $58,000, right? Just, you know, if we have a flurry at the end.
The final flurry, the famous final flurry. Sure, yeah, about 58. I think the number that we both kind of had in mind was around 60.
Yeah.
Last time we talked. So, hey, look at that, margin of error.
Exactly. Where do we want to start? This is the end. If you are not watching this live on twitch.tv/JustinRYoung, I can let you know that I am wearing a Charmander onesie. I have been online for 15 of my last 24 hours. I am a little frazzled right now.
Oh, I believe it.
John, what is the biggest thing on your mind right now as we close in on the end of this campaign?
Biggest thing on my mind right now is finishing the game. I was thinking the entire way over here. My brain has already shifted into like post Kickstarter mode. I think it's been there for the better part of the week when I wasn't either sick or shilling our other game at Politicon.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I'm thinking about spreadsheets. I'm thinking about dates. I'm thinking about the step-by-step that needs to get done in order for us to get this out the door, or printed and out the door. So into the door and out of the door as quickly as possible.
Which is good that you're thinking about that, because I am not. I am in a Charmander onesie trying to not spill wine on my wine on my clothes, because we are trying to hype up a frenzy for this final 12 hours.
Well, as I think we've definitely talked about before, is you sort of embody this part of the campaign.
Yes.
The part where you're on in front of the camera, in front of the mic, shucking and jiving to your heart's content, and then pat beyond. And whereas I like spreadsheets.
Good point. Certainly a good point. All right. Well, I mean, understanding that you are now beyond this, like, if you were to reflect on what we have done in this home stretch, because I assume people who would listen to this, God knows who would, but like anybody who would listen to this would probably want to know, okay, you guys went dark for 2 weeks. Why did you go dark for 2 weeks, and what was happening that made you guys shift so far into this other mode that you couldn't do this element that was also publicity for the project?
Right. Well, the reason that we went dark, as you alluded to in the beginning, is the first off, in 2 weeks ago, you were out on a kind of a glad-handing trip. To try and get as many podcasts and just get in front of as many people as possible. And because of that, with your very busy schedule, like, there just wasn't time to do another podcast on top of A, your existing podcast load, and then B, all of these new podcasts that you're doing guest spots on.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we also had the strategy that we laid out last time in full swing, which was those micro stretch goals just to keep it going. And if we look at the graph, like, we have a very odd Kickstarter graph.
Yeah.
Like, most Kickstarter graphs have this, like, kind of elegant, like, curve to them where they start off strong and then peter out towards the middle, flatten out before picking back up at the end. And ours is like, it's like that wall. It's like the wall in the north.
Yeah.
And then it just continuously at about the same rate picks up for the entire time.
We created, like, momentum and growth in a time when very rarely do Kickstarters have that.
Have any movement at all.
Yeah.
And it stayed consistent throughout the entire length of the Kickstarter, which is something that I thought was very peculiar, and I'm very proud that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
We are getting a bit of an uptick at the end, as we did expect. But I think all in all, like, we pretty much did what, like, our mission from 2 weeks ago was a success. Like, our change in plan worked well for us as we went forward.
Yeah.
And then last week, last Wednesday, we normally do this on Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, yeah.
We were in the midst of planning our trip down to Politicon.
Yeah.
Which was the reason that we extended our campaign past 30 days in the first place.
Because we would have otherwise ended on the Friday of, but before Politicon, basically.
Right, when we were driving down.
Yeah.
So that was a good trip for us, definitely.
And what we wanted to do was what I've done over the last 2 days, which is just do big, long marathon streams to kind of continue to build momentum and to also just make sure that, like, every last person that would be interested in who I am, like, knows about this and is able to back it.
Plus, it's kind of a celebration. It's kind of like, here we are, like, we're coming to the end. Yes, we're picking up the spare, but also anyone who might have questions about where we are going forward, what our plans are going forward, we can answer those live as it happens.
As we go. Yeah. No, no, absolutely. And we got 100 minutes to go, so let's get through any other points of business. Like you mentioned before, we really hit a wall. You know, and this is something that I'm sure we can go over a million times, but you know, past our initial pop, which was more explosive than the contender, we hit a big wall, right? We weren't really able to recover from it, and that's what changed our position to kind of go to a more incremental. Let's just get 10 backers at a time.
Let's find
a reason to say, We are only, you know, the most aggressive we can say is we're 10 backers away from thing, and we'll always be 10 or less from a thing, and that really did. I mean, that was what turned the tide for us.
Oh yeah, even from a morale standpoint, because this great example of the whole, like, you know, best laid plans don't survive first contact with the enemy, right?
Yeah,
we did plan our stretch goals, like, very regimented. We were very regimented in our stretch goal planning.
Yeah.
But our stretch goal plan assumed that we would be moving at a much faster pace.
Yeah.
We were thinking unlocking in terms of 50, 75, and 125 blocks of backers.
Yeah.
And then when it started to crawl, not only was it less interesting to watch because we weren't unlocking things all the time, but it felt worse.
Yeah.
It felt like we were more stagnant than we were. So we didn't actually change our targets, because that would have been silly.
No.
But what we did is we just split up those big chunks into smaller
pieces.
Installments.
Yeah.
Which, one, revitalized the page, and two, like, gave us, it was just a lot more fun for us.
Well, they just gave us something to talk about,
right,
as opposed to come get the game.
Yeah.
The other thing that we really did push was, by the end of the campaign, the idea of 1,000 backers being our big win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we could set this milestone to try to get to, specifically with me being online for 48 hours effectively. Like, what could we say that was like blowing up the Death Star? Because I very much believe that that is the heart of any and all kind of viral campaign. Is everybody wants to be an Ewok. Everybody wants to be on Endor singing Yub Nub. And you got to do that, you got to have stakes. And the stakes are, for us, 1,000 backers initially. Now, we hit that fairly quickly yesterday, which meant that like now we had to stretch beyond that. But let's start with 1,000. We set the app as our 1,000 backer goal. Initially, did we have that a little higher?
I actually don't remember initially.
That might have been something that we moved.
We definitely moved that. Do you want to talk about how it's difficult to make adjustments mid course, like what we almost did?
That would have
totally hamstrung us.
Yeah. No, we can talk about. I had a bad idea on what we should do. All right, so here was the deal. Before we came up with the idea that we would unlock one news card at a time, I had the idea.
So I get a very morose call from Justin.
Yeah.
Really, really just trying to figure out like what is it we're going to do? What's he going to talk about, basically? What's he going to talk about while you're on the air for the hours and hours and hours for the rest of the month?
Yeah. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm here to spread the word to qualified audience that they should come do this and that they can that they can make a difference, right? That this is a big thing that can happen. And so
before we settled on Action News, we had a couple of other game ideas.
We did. We've talked about this before. I think we talked about it on this podcast. Yeah.
We talked about it on the podcast, but kind of in passing.
Yeah.
So one of them was one that got furthest along was Trash Masters.
Uh-huh. We actually had a print and play for.
We had a print and play for that.
An early print and play. Early print and play.
There was Sex the Game,
which I never liked,
but I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
Which was basically The Contender, but with sex words.
Yeah.
We had this social deduction kind of game. All of these ideas, like, never made it past planning phase. And then I get a call from Justin saying, all right, this is what we're going to do.
Oh, by the way, Shmoolord helped us work on Trash Masters at Gen Con last year.
So I get a call from Justin, like, all right, here's what we should do.
Yeah.
So 1,000 is our big goal.
Yeah.
And at this point, we were probably around 600. So it's like every 100 backers we get between now and then, we're going to say that we open source and release one of the games that we ended up not making.
Yes.
And he was very convincing. Like, he had a very convincing argument for this. But
if you have not heard me in my hard charging, you know, we got to live together or die alone, Jack from Lost speech. I can be very convincing until you realize that I may or may not know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, he is very convincing person. Justin has like one of the things I like most about him is a very like strong opinions.
Yeah.
Regardless of how formed, but he also is always able to see the reasons why we should do something. And they were good reasons. It was like, we get to open source these things. We get to engage the game community. We get to like have people be able to play with something ahead of time. But in the back of my mind, I was just thinking like, we don't really have anything to give away. Like these ideas are so partly formed.
Yeah.
That it's like,
we would have to do so much more work to create these games. Yeah.
Develop three extra games on top of fulfilling our Kickstarter.
Because in my mind, I'm like, no, we're going to give away half-formed, partially formed, 25% formed ideas, with the idea being, hey, look, the point is that we are giving these things away, not that they're great. Like, no one's going to play them and be like, oh, my God, the real gem was Sex the Game, right? The point is, it's like, all right, well, let's do a paper on the framework of what we would do and, like, a basic thing, but here's this thing. We're just going to open up our diary and share this work. Now, what I, in the moment, very much glossed over was even what would the work that would need to go in to make a minimum viable product like that.
Right.
Like, even just making a paper describing the rules, like, of what Sex the Game could be with a general guideline of what cards would be.
Like, we don't know. I just thought it would be a funny idea.
Yeah.
To, like, say sex words at each other. Like, you're dirty talking.
Exactly.
And that was it. If
also,
we open source.
Unless you have a mouse in your pocket, we did not think that was a good idea.
If we were open sourcing it, that would be the entirety of it. I just said it right there. It is now open source. Please go do what you will with it. It's like, that's not a blow up anything kind of goal.
No.
We're not poking holes in the Death Star at all.
No, we're not. So we went away from that and we went to the news card thing, which ultimately wound up becoming not only very successful for us, but one of those things that, man, hindsight being 2020, you know, it just kind of made me realize how much, if we could do this over, there are three things that I would do differently 110%.
Oh, what's that?
First is we knew this was a problem, but we just glossed way too far over the idea of just showing the game demoed without...
In our video.
In a video, without any bells, without any whistles, literally just... This is the game. This is how it plays. Like, even if it's shit, even if it's just an iPhone video, like, just something that shows the game. And I think this was bad habit by both of us and by Megan Fawn that, like, we were so concerned about the image of the game. And I think that we still are novices in not feeling confident enough in the game that we didn't just say, no, we're going to do a live stream with an overhead camera and we're just going to play the game for 30 minutes. And we're just going to have an unbroken 30 minute thing that's just going to go up. And maybe it's in the video, it's in the Kickstarter video, or maybe it's on the website, and maybe it's a pinned tweet, like, whatever it is, we didn't do it. And by the time that I think we realized that we needed to do it, we were all so hip deep in everything that it's like, it just was not going to happen. And
this was another thing, probably this realization solidified while we were at Politicon, because we have a pitch for the contender when we're selling it at conventions.
Yeah.
That works really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's entirely based around, this is how you play. This is how you interact with the cards. This is the fun that you have.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, look at how political we can make someone else look. It's like, this is your experience.
Yeah.
And our video doesn't do that at all.
No, I mean, it's... I think our video is fine. It ultimately, I think, could use some kind of, I think it would be worth it to sacrifice the aesthetic of the video, where the video is not this found footage from the 1980s, and is instead, like, it breaks at a certain point and brings you to your table where you are playing the game.
Right.
Right. And now you are like, okay, cool. I can wear this aesthetic like a cloak as opposed to just watching this aesthetic on my screen and taking your word for it that it'll come home to me when I get it. That being said, The other two things that I would say are really that I would do totally different is, number one, I would have emphasized the history. You know, the nostalgia is something that we thought was valuable enough to make it a theme, but we didn't think it was valuable enough to make it our campaign. And that was a problem, you know? Like, if anything, part of this podcast should have just been us talking about some of these cards and what went into them and why we think that these are important and the kind of reasons why this will be funny when you match it up with different words, you know?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is just it's, you know, God damn us. And this, again, I think this is a confidence thing between with us as game makers. We solved part of the problem with the Contender, which the Contender is a very good game and people love it. And by the way, we were at Politicon last week and more people bought it this year at Politicon than they did last year. So the game theoretically is more viable now than it was when we were selling it last year.
During the election.
During the election, which is something that I did not think was possible, right? So the game has a good reputation. It still is very well rated on Amazon. People come up to us, or came up to us a bunch during Politicon, and we're like, oh my God, I played it. We found out that Gary Johnson's bus was obsessed with it.
Gary Johnson bought one for every member of his
staff.
Gary
Johnson bought the Contender for every member of his staff. Now, considering the other decisions that Gary Johnson made, maybe not the best endorsement, but God bless you, Gary Johnson. We love you here. The Scoops Awards make this game so much different and so much more fun. Makes Action News so much more fun. It escalates everything. And when you put it in the hands of other people, that's immediately what they gravitate toward. Is they're like, okay, mechanic, I understand. You put two words together. It's kind of like every other game that I've played. But then
it's like, what is this thing?
Yeah, but then it's like, oh, no, now I can give my friend the Tiananmen Square card, and then I can make him wink three times or say unlike my ex, you know, during that, like, thing. That's hilarious. And so, like, that's something that we – that had to be the hook, you know?
Was that a confidence thing, or was that just we didn't think about it? I don't even know if that didn't even occur to me that was missing.
Because you want to know what? We knew it enough to put them in. We knew that was the fun escalating part to put it in. When we play tested it, those were always the things that people had the most fun with. I think that there was just a question of whether or not it was fun enough that we should make a big deal about it, because we knew that this thing worked. The putting cards together thing worked.
Right.
So we went with that as the big thing that we would talk about and the big thing that we needed to explain, as opposed to, and this is something that we actually had, that we talked about before, like, this is in the early development of the game, that, like, we wanted there to be this adversarial relationship between the players, like you would if you were backbiting anchors and reporters.
Right.
Right. And so that is, we made the mechanic and then we never talked about it.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Nope. You're totally right.
So those are three things that I think we would do differently. You know, live and learn. If at first you don't succeed, it's the name of the goddamn podcast, but
Fortunately, we still have these ideas, right?
Yeah.
And while we're not entirely sure what the future holds for Action News, like, if this is a kind of thing that we end up selling forward, like the Contender, then we can use those. We can make that video.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, 100%. And you know, today, the last 2 days have been gigantic. You know, we've gotten a lot of very nice and well-meaning people that have donated a ton of $1 pledges, right?
All from guest accounts.
All from
anonymously
guests.
Donated.
Anonymously donated $1
from the Jerry Haircut Fund.
Yeah, because I went.
By the way, nine. We are 9 backers away from 1,200.
And we've got 2 hours to go, so we got time.
I'm back.
Yeah, exactly.
Justin's gonna pull his pledge. Actually, I didn't back it. Did you back it?
I don't know if I backed it.
If it gets up to 1,199, I will be.
And I'm not going to back. Oh no, there's already people who are like just vulturing.
Oh, they're just waiting on.
Oh,
it?
Oh yeah, no, totally. I mean, listen. This is a game that we're going to now sell probably around, what would you say, 1,100? More than that. A little over 1,100 copies of, right?
Yeah.
And so we'll probably buy around 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
It is an assurity now because we are done. You know, the only other big expenditures we have beyond manufacturing and shipping is the development of the app, which you're going to do.
Yep.
Right?
It's free.
It's free.
It costs time, which is free. That's
so, ostensibly. Despite the fact that we are going to make roughly $100,000 less on this than the contender, we will make money on it, which is nice. And, you know, the bigger thing is, I think that this is something that will probably sell out within the next year.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
You know, and when it's gone, we can all make a decision on what we want to do past that.
In the chat, buy 15,000. It has to work this time. No.
But, you know, a lot of lessons, you know. It's going to be a hell of a Medium article.
Yeah, I think it'll be certainly a less dramatic Medium article.
It's like, yeah,
how we raised $50,000 on Kickstarter and made money doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
No. Nor do I want the same ring to it. You know, this was definitely a different experience. A far different experience, not only from the contender, but also than I think I was expecting. I'm sure that there will be plenty of time for folks to go back and listen to my sweet summer child musings of how much money we were going to make on this.
Oh, episode one where
episode
we had
one
the,
where I opened my fat fucking mouth. $250,000. But what would you say is the biggest lesson that you learned from this that you did not know before?
Biggest lesson that I learned from this is, I think once again, we've been shown, almost at every turn, we've been shown that we are overly optimistic. I think that what this has shown us is that if we wanted to be professional game developers, if to the point where I would be able to leave my job,
yeah,
and do this full time,
yeah,
we would have to make 2 games a year,
yeah,
and they would have to be just as good as the ones that we've made,
yeah,
which is, I mean, it certainly is like, all right, well, that door is closed.
That's not something that we're interested in.
Right. Well, that's not something that will be, that I think is feasible for us. Or definitely, I'm sure that you don't have time to
develop
do
two
this
games
twice
a year. No.
One every 2 years feels like a lot.
I don't think that my Twitter following can handle it. I don't think I would have any more friends if I did my aggressive DM sliding like I did today. It's just all of my, I'm showing John my tweet deck panel of just all of my fellow podcaster and streamer friends that just all got the exact same, like.
There's five columns. There's five columns of tweet management over here. This is very appealing to me.
Yeah.
It's like columns and rows. Very organized.
So,
Yeah, that's my big thing is like this. Like, this is a primary source of income, probably isn't in the cards.
No.
Hey.
I mean, wait, but that was a surprise? You didn't, like, you thought that that was a possibility?
Well, you know, if this did 250, if the trend was northerly, then the next one we could probably assume would go bigger. And then at that point, like, there's no reason why we wouldn't just keep hitting it.
Well, you know, although I'll tell you what, here's something that I haven't even thought about. But, like, if you look at, so, Exploding Kittens is the most successful Kickstarter of all time, right?
I think it was recently surpassed.
But okay.
Definitely
but
up there.
For
Kingdom Death Monster, I think, beat it.
Gotcha. So, $8 million, goddamn near $9 million for Exploding Kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then what did Bears versus Babies do?
I think four. Almost 4 million.
3,215,000. So I ain't no goddamn math major. I went to South Plantation High School. So if you were to take, you know, 8 million divided by 3.2. Wait, no, that's not how you do that, right? What's the that's
what
less than half.
Do?
Less than half, right? The percentage of what they made on their follow-up versus their first one.
Oh, yeah, it's less than half.
Less than half. I mean, I'm saying we almost tracked. Did we track almost like percentage-wise close to what they did in terms of a fallout from first to second?
No, they did better than we did.
I mean, not by...
We did 140.
Yeah, we did 142.
We're almost a third, and they're almost a half.
No, we're more than a third if we're close to 60.
I guess so. And yeah, they did. It's close. Yeah. So that,
all,
that would be...
Here's what I'm saying. Is that, I think
that would be an interesting thing to look at because... Yeah. Companies that do end up doing this full time, their Kickstarters do better over time.
Not necessarily.
I mean, most of them.
Look at. I mean, I'll tell you what. We're the most successful card game Kickstarter in Oakland right now.
Hey, look at us.
Indie board games, which no shade on them. They are awesome. Although I really want to meet them, and I keep sending them emails to network with them, and they never get back to me, and they're starting to hurt my feelings. but they do great shit. They do Coup and other awesome games. Was it Revolution or what's the sequel to Coup? Anyway, somebody in the
remember.
Chat might know.
Yeah.
But they got a new one. And that's not doing as well as ours, right? And I've seen a bunch of people that run these Kickstarters professionally that it's like a lot of them are just get to backing, you know, just get to your minimum goal. They're not all there to be kind of piles of wet rags of gasoline that you turn into bonfires. Some of them are, right? And I think that if you're looking at it as something that you are building and escalating. Then, yeah, and I think that we definitely tried to escalate on this one. But, you know, sometimes you can't fight the tide.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because I've been holding off on looking at this, at the Bears versus Babies versus Exploding Kittens comparison, because I didn't know whether or not my hypothesis would be correct. But it's like, look, they did less than half. We're going to do less than half. So if the most successful people to do it, on their next one, which, by the way, Exploding Kittens and Bears versus Babies, you know, similar kind of avant-garde ideas. All art still done by the Oatmeal, right? The game still designed by the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm fine with that. I feel a little bit better that it's not just our unique original sin.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, so what's the biggest thing that you learned coming out of this?
Oh, to shut my mouth about no, when he's right there you just pick him up with your finger.
I want a falcon. I want
You can't do it cuz he's lower.
Falcon, right?
It's only when he's higher that he comes down like that. What's the biggest thing that I learned? Not to open my fucking mouth and talk about how much we're going to make. That's the first thing, because although I am very, very well adept at embarrassing myself on the internet, that was dumb. That was stupid, and it was irresponsible as from me from a leadership role on our team to make it about that and not about, hey, let's do what we can. You know? I think that is that's something that I do regret. And, you know, I do have a lot of regrets when it comes to how the campaign was handled. Like I have a lot of regrets on not being more on top of some of the press stuff and all that. So, but I would say the biggest thing is just expectations. I think our expectations just got, and by we, I mean me. That's the mouse in my pocket that I'm referring to in the royal we. But I think it got too far.
So if I had sex the game, you had $250,000.
I did. But here we go. I'll tell you what. While we were recording this, we wanted to hit 1,200. We hit 1,200 backers. We are now 1205 live, and we still got another hour to go. So we're gonna see as far as we can push this son of a bitch. John, are there any final words as we go into the friskulating dusklight? Doctor, definitely shit in your head. There is definitely bird shit in your head.
Well, I'm gonna have to clean that out.
Yes, you will.
But no, just thank you to everyone who backed us. Like this is great. We are really happy with the game. We're really excited to continue and make it as best as we can. 1,200 is fantastic. That was actually when I was telling you, like, oh, this is when we run out of stretch goals.
Yeah.
This is it. So now, like, all the cards that we wanted to put in, we're going to be able to put in. And thank you very much. Like, this has been a heck of a ride.
Hell yeah! Thank you to everybody. Shmoolord says, did the advice from Gen Con that you got from other publishers help you for this one? Oh yes. Oh my God. No, I mean the connections we made at Gen Con last year are going to be the reason why we can make money on this. You know, like that's a full stop. Oh, also, here's one funny parting thing. We have talked around the fact that we were not in love with our publisher on the contender, or manufacturer, rather, not publisher. We published it. So as we have succeeded, all of a sudden, we get an email. It's right over there, yeah. We got an email saying, hey, sup, bros? Anyway, we can get a look at these specs so we can give you guys a quote on manufacturing. Didn't respond. But in our Slack, we had a very hearty laugh around the table. John, what email did we get this week?
Same thread.
Yeah.
Just a question mark.
Just question mark? Take a hint, bro. All right, John. That about wraps it up for If at First You Don't Succeed. I'm sure that we are going to do
probably a follow-up one as soon as we pull the trigger on everything.
Yeah. So we'll give the final numbers on exactly what we spend per deck, what it takes to ship, and how much money we all took home. But that's it. My name is Justin Robert Young. That's John Teasdale. And at first, you don't succeed. Try again. See you later.